What's up, humans? My name is Sunny Vizioni, and this is the Sunny Days Project, a project of life, laughter, and whatever the hell life throws our way, including today's topic, risk. We discuss what risk means, what do people think when they hear the word risk, the pros and cons of taking risks, and much, much more. Let's attack this thing we call life and get to work. Lego. Today's topic on the Sunny Days Project is about risk, and I am grateful to be joined here by my PIC sidekick co-host, Action Jackson, get this money, Delisle. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, you know, in the studio. I'm excited about the show's topic. I'm excited for our, for the whole topic, but also the everything. I'm excited for the last segment too, the vent. A lot of people contacted us. And yeah, so how I guess wanted to start off this episode for risk is, you know, the boring way. Let's go old school. Let's look up the definition of risk. Merriam-Webster defines risk as, you know, loss or injury, something that creates, suggests a hazard. An insurance hazard from a specified cause or source, the chance that an investment will lose value. What do you think of when you hear the word risk?
I mainly think of financial risk. Like, that's like the biggest thing. I mean, I've gotten really into crypto recently, so that's why. But like, when you think about risk and like risk and return and all that, like, that's exactly what it goes to. It's like me sitting in personal finance class.
Well, nowadays, I think like it was Bitcoin a risk. So that's what I mean. I also think of a lot of other things. Obviously, I think of like cops, firefighters, first responders in general, military service members, you know, those typical kind of things. I think of stand-up comedians. That's a risk, getting on stage.
So people like risking their lives and then also people risking their reputations by saying things?
Pretty much. No, but like, I mean, improvising is a risk. It's like, I'm going to get up on stage. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. So I'm risking like whatever it is that I could be on that stage. I mean, there's a lot of things that like a lot of careers that involve risk, almost every career, really, if you think about it.
Well, and I think with improv, it's more of like risking your, I don't know how to word this, like your level of cool. You know what I mean? Like risking how people like look at you, because improv is literally out and make an idiot out of yourself.
So all right. So we'll get into that later. I also think of, when I hear the word risk, I also think of like taking a chance, and that reminds me of an Office episode, the clip that we may clip right here.
Wait, listen, no matter what happens, you gotta forget about all the other stuff. You gotta forget about logic and fear and doubt. You just gotta do everything you can to get to the one woman who's gonna make all this worth it. At the end of the day, you gotta jump. You love Angela, Dwight. I think you always have.
You're a good assistant, Jim.
Not as good as you.
That's very true. Get the hell out of here.
You got it.
So it's like a really emotional scene, and Jim eventually tells him, like, at the end of the day, you got to jump. Like, you got to take that chance. You got to take that risk. And that's one of my favorite lines from The Office, just out of every single episode. Like, at the end of the day, you got to jump. Because I'm a firm believer. I mean, you got to do it. You got to take that step. You got to take that chance. And I love it. It grinds my gears. So that's what I think about, of course, is a scene from The Office when I think about risk.
Well, obviously, you're a huge, I was going to say it might be behind me, but it's Rob.
Yeah, that is Rob.
But yeah, it's literally right next to Rob. But it's a giant thing of, you're just a huge Office fan. So.
I am. I also think of risk versus reward, because I feel like that's a I don't know, popular saying, whenever you think about risk. And then what else I did was I decided to reach out to 5 anonymous people. And I just said, hey, when you hear the word risk, what do you think of? And I'm going to continue this thread amongst the rest of the episodes of the Sunny Days Project, just to kind of get different perceptions brought into the episode. So one of the answers that I liked, or that I got, I liked all the answers because they answered them. One of the answers I got was just the word opportunity, which I very much agree with, because when you take a shot, when you take a chance, you are taking a step for opportunity, like stand up.
Yeah, because there's always that risk involved with new opportunities. It's like getting a new, like you have the opportunity to switch to a new job, but
right.
But there's that risk of like you might fucking hate that new job.
Well, and it's like, yeah, if you're comfortable in that job, in this new one, you know, what if it requires you to move? That's a huge risk, especially because you're like you're leaving all your friends, maybe family if they're in the area, but maybe it's double the salary, like crazy benefits. Like that's a risk versus reward conversation you would have to have. Another answer I got was board game. It is a board game.
I was thinking about that when we originally brought this up, the idea for this episode.
Have you played Risk?
No, I've never played it. I've only seen it at Target a bunch.
I've never played it. I just know I know what the board game looks like. It's just Risk with an exclamation point. And that's really it. So now we're going to get into kind of some deeper answers. So this individual said, immediately my mind goes to reward. When I'm evaluating the risk of something, I'm simultaneously considering the reward of that same thing. I then begin to weigh those things either in my mind or on a piece of paper. If it's financial, I'll work that out. But most of the time, the things that feel the riskiest are those that threaten either my time or my energy. I weigh the risk / reward, oh, look at that, in my head on those items and then make a decision based on my evaluation whether or not it's worth it for me. What do you think of that?
So, I mean, I think that's pretty normal answers, weighing the, you know, risk versus reward. That's kind of what I said, even when we were talking about the financial stuff.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, there's always that risk versus, well, in finance, it's called return.
Right.
But, you know, there's risk, reward, risk, return. So, but the higher the risk, the higher the return. So I assume that goes for the same as the higher the risk, the higher the reward. But maybe not necessarily. It might be super bad because, again, there's a lot. The higher the risk, you know?
That's true. So that was the third individual. So this, the fourth individual sent me a lot. And I'm not going to read all of it, but pretty much to sum it up, this individual had not good airways, not good lungs their entire life, and had severe asthma problems. And eventually, someone came up to her, I think it was like a family friend, and they told them that she simply needs to just do what she loves and she shouldn't let her sickness like hold her back. And she said, like, if I love flowers, then I should have a lot of flowers in my life. If I wanted a dog, then I should have a dog. Instead of fear-filled thoughts, which I talk about fear-filled thoughts nowadays. Like so many people have fear-filled thoughts. But it was so radical for me. Up to that point, my life had been full of finger wagging, warning conversations. Things like, you better not go on that day trip to Starved Rock. You know what happens to you. You better not spend much time at Sharon's house. She has that dog. All I can tell you is that I remember my friend's mom with tears in my eyes. She was special. I remember that conversation. I went to college and loved it. I didn't get sick. I've had dogs in my life and I loved it. They didn't make me sick. I work in my yard on the trees and the grass and the flowers and love it. All these experiences made my life better. Yes, I do what I can to stay in good health, but my friend's mom was right. I had to step out and risk to have a life I love. Risk is being your authentic self. Goofy, silly, messy, flawed, and spectacular. I can work to please people, to have friends and try to fit in. But if I'm not being who I truly am because I'm always pleasing people, am I really fitting in? Risk is daring to be who I am and risk not being liked, not being popular, not being part in the crowd, which means there are times when I might be alone. But that's okay. Because when I dare to be authentic, The weird thing is that other people have a way of sensing that I am being authentic. And other people love someone who is authentic because when they see an authentic person, it gives them more inner permission to be themselves, to be authentic. It's interesting that authenticity is like related to risk. Like it's, hey, just being you is risky because you don't fit in with the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I feel like we come across in a lot of the things that we do that word authenticity on a day-to-day basis. We come across that word, like whether it's meeting new people, whether it's interviewing someone on a podcast, whether it's you know, like making a business connection, all of these things, you know, authenticity comes up. Like even look at the first episode of the other podcast, you know,
right?
That's automatically like what comes to my mind is when I hear authenticity, that and my dad. But
well, and I feel like looking, I've never been, and like this even goes with like Star Wars and or Harry Potter, me not seeing it, like I don't usually jump into what large crowds do, like what majority of people do. And that's, I don't know if that's more me trying to be rebellious or me just being authentic that I'm not interested in it. But it is, I don't know, it's just interesting that like just being you is almost risky nowadays. But also I feel like it's not, because it's all about perspective when it comes to that.
Right. I feel like there's a difference between being authentic and offensive. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. But I'm saying is like, I mean, even every time I go on stage to do stand up, I feel like I'm like, all right, I got to be like an authentic version of me, because like if I'm not, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point if I'm not going to go up there and say what I actually think? Like, I'm not saying things just to cater to an audience. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, I like that. Can't say it to cater to an audience. That's authenticity, baby. So last but not least, this individual. So yeah, I'm going to keep all these people anonymous, but I'll tell you that this individual gave a TED Talk and it's on YouTube. And if you do your research, I think we've talked about it on a podcast before, but this was the individual I reached out to. Anyways, so he's legit. Anyways, I love his answer. He says, risk to me is about having the bravery and courage to begin something without knowing the outcome. The thrill of beginning a journey, leaping and growing your wings on the way down. Risk is about leaning into that side of you that wants to break out of the routine, the norm, the predictable. Without risk, and it's causing curiosity in parentheses, there can rarely be creativity, new ideas, innovation, or new directions. This is my favorite part right here. Those that take risks may not live as long, but the cautious do not live at all. Drop the mic.
I think that's a great quote from anyone. You know what I mean? Like whoever it is, we'll keep it anonymous.
Right.
Like I don't even know who it was. He doesn't tell me anything for this podcast.
True. Yeah. So disclaimer, I told Jackson, do not look at the show notes at all. Like this, I'm going to be researching everything. And but I want that because I want, hey, back to authenticity. I want you to be authentic and like genuine in your feedback.
Yeah, so I'm listening to a podcast at the same time you guys are too.
But yeah, those that take risks may not live as long, but the cautious do not live at all. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. Maybe my neck.
Get right there on your neck.
No regrets.
Yeah, on your forehead would be good though, to wrap it around your eye. Like Mike Tyson. Yeah, like a mask.
I'm Mike Tyson. Anyways, so why do you think people don't take risks?
I mean, it's part of, it's the word, you know what I mean? It's risk. It's not associated with, like, I feel like it's not associated with super positive things all the time,
but
you know?
But don't you think it's all about how you, like, look at the word risk?
Right, but don't you feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't? Like that don't look at it in a positive light, at least?
Like, I was like, hey, Jackson, there's two holes in the ground. If you put your hand in one, you lose your hand. If you put your hand in the other, you save all the starving children in the world.
I'd be like, fuck those holes. I'm not putting my hand in two holes in the ground. That's such a weird analogy. Why would me putting my hand in a hole in the ground feed starving children in the world? Why would that?
All right. It's not the best analogy, but I'm just saying, I think it's all about how you approach the risk you're taking.
I mean, I guess I could see where that would be like, yeah. It is, but again, I mean, it comes back to like, I agree with you on the sense that it's how you look at the word and like what you compare it to in your head.
Yeah.
But when you have a lot of people that are there looking at the word and going, that's a negative word. Oh, there's a lot of risk, you know, like, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that will look at the word risk and not look at the word return or reward. Or like, what's the reward for this? Oh, there's a lot of risk. I'm good.
I think if you were to ask, because you keep saying risk is like a negative word.
And I'm not saying it's right, a negative
but
word.
But most people think that it is.
Right.
Yeah. And I agree with you because especially today's society is like super just negative and whatever.
It's
so easy to suck in the back.
Especially in today's society, I'll use a good analogy. If you go outside without a mask on, you'll die. That's the risk. You know what I mean? That's the risk you take. Like, oh, or, if you don't get vaccinated, you will die. You know what I mean? Right. It's always this terrible thing. And they're like,
there's no in between. Yeah. It's to the extreme.
Yeah. It's one extreme to the other.
Right. That's true. I put down here, why do people not take risks? I put comfort. People are comfortable and they're scared to get uncomfortable. And I think like not a life motto or whatever. I don't know who I heard say this, but it's like, be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I love that, especially having to do with risk. Because if you take a chance and you understand that you're getting out of your comfort zone, like let's say you're doing stand up for the first time. You get on stage and like you're shaking and you're nervous, or you're about to get on stage and you're shaking and you're nervous, but you tell yourself, like, oh, I understand that I'm nervous. Like, you know, like you just talk to yourself for a second and you really take in the moment of, oh, it's about to go down, that I think it's not so heavy. But if you never, I guess, approach it in your own way, you know what I mean?
I feel like I get what you're saying, but I feel like if I were to approach it like it's about to go down, I'm like, fuck, it's now I'm extra nervous. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I do feel like once you're like, listen, like no matter what happens, I'm being the most authentic version of myself in this risk that I'm taking. And like I'm a big believer of like, and this is a Batman quote for sure, but it's like,
where is she?
Yeah. I'm like, where is she? That's the quote I live by. No, like, it's the, like, why do we fail? It's like when he like flashes back in Batman Begins to like when his dad, he's with his dad and he falls, I think into the Batcave. I think that's what it is. And his dad picks him up and brings him back up, and he, or what will become the Batcave. And yeah. He goes, why do we fall? And he goes, like, I don't know. And he's like, so we can learn to pick ourselves back up. Like, even right now, I'm like, that's a tearjerker. It's such a deep cut.
That is a tearjerker. Another thing I would jot down is people are scared. People are scared to take a risk. But I'm trying to all right. So let's say someone went to school 4 years. They have their degree. They're working and they're like, yo, this career sucks. This career sucks. It's not what I want to do. I want to pursue this. But it's like, they just put all that time, effort, money into that. So it's like, well, what do I do now? And they can't just drop everything they're doing and just go pursue that other thing. Like, they got to pay bills. They might have children.
College debt.
Yeah, they might have debt they need to pay off.
They definitely do. They went to school for 4 years.
And I mean, if all that's going on, it's like, yeah, I'd be scared shitless to drop everything too and go do it. Do I still think they could pursue it? Yeah. Just like one step at a time. When there's a will, there's a way.
Right. Well, and actually, it's great that you brought that up, because I actually know a decent amount of people that were in the...
I know a ton of people that are like kind of in that situation.
Yeah, but that like specifically people that actually made that jump, and nice. Like they were in computer. A lot of, actually, I would say like 3 out of the 5 people I'm thinking of right now were in computer science. Like, they went to college for 4 years for computer sciences. And when they got out of there, they had like this job right out of college that paid them 6 figures. Right. But yeah. They hated the fucking job. Like, they hated it.
Yeah.
They were like, this is awful. I sit in a room by myself staring at a computer screen with code, and it's not fun. So what they did was, instead of hating it themselves, they were like, listen, I got to do it for this long to pay off all this debt.
Nice.
And then I will save the rest of the money and take that and then do what I want to do. And like one of the guys is now, he owns like a really successful, his own, like, I don't know, it's not private practice, that's like a doctor, but like when he owns his own real estate office.
Okay.
So like he switched to that and he's like, I love it. I talk to people all the time. I put people in good homes that they trust me.
Yeah. So look where he is taking that risk.
Right.
That's cool though. No, but he obviously had to make a plan, you know,
right.
And weigh that level, I guess, of risk, which is cool. Another thing I put is failure. I mean, that's kind of like frightened, but it's like, well, if I take that jump to that next job, like, what if I fail? Like, what do I do now? Do I come back to that job? Do I try something else? But I mean, I don't like the word failure. You live and you learn. There's not much you can fail in life unless it's a stupid test, which who cares about that?
But I mean, failure exists. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people who label themselves as a failure, those are the people that are like, they have this thing in their head that they're never going to take risks because they usually fail and things like that. But I feel like failing is one of those things like risk that has such a negative connotation to it. But it is a learning moment, really, is what it is. It's like you learn from, like, that's why you fail. That's like goes back to that quote that I said,
yeah,
which was, you know, why do you fail or why do you fall? So you can learn how to pick yourself back up. Same thing. Why do you fail? You know, so you can learn how to succeed.
Well, and like imagine, all right, so you're a stand-up, okay? So you go up for your first set and you bomb. You fail it. You bomb hard. 95% of individuals be like, not again. I'm not doing that again. But the ones that they're like, oh, this is what I did wrong. I timed this joke wrong. Or I said this thing wrong. Whatever. They pick themselves up from their failure and then they go do stand up again and then they kill it. I mean literally every stand up out there has failed, has bombed. So I think, yeah, it's all about how you approach the failure, but also understanding that it's going to happen. Like, especially if you are going to take a chance on something, take a risk with something, like, shit's going to hit the fan and expect it to. But, like, understand that it will. I think understanding that failure is going to come is a big part of it.
Well, and what was you said that someone had told you that, you know, be comfortable being uncomfortable?
Yeah.
I actually know who told you that.
Who was it?
It was, and you're like, tell me. But one of your, I think it was your level A instructor.
Oh, I mean, it was probably an improv person, but I think I've probably like heard it on podcasts as well. Like, it's somewhat of a common saying if you divulge into, like, I don't know, improvement stuff, and like listen to podcasts around that type of field. Another thing I have is just self-doubt, someone not believing in them taking that risk. Like, if that guy that has that successful company now, if he was like, no, I can't do this, I'm the worst, it's not gonna happen, I don't believe in myself, then he wouldn't.
Yeah, it never would have happened if he didn't have the like capacity to like be like, listen, this is what I have to do right now, and then I can do what I want to do.
Right. The last but not least of why do people not take risks? I just have the word embarrassment. They're scared, or they're scared to be embarrassed. I mean, we had frightened there, but embarrassed. Being embarrassed sucks, but I also feel like it's all perspective, because who are the people that you feel embarrassed by to judge you for taking that risk? I think I said that right.
Hold on, let me ask you what you just said. So like you're asking who in your life, like, are you embarrassed to be judged by after you take a risk?
Yeah.
Like if you were to take a risk, fall on your face, who's the person you're like, fuck, I hope I don't run into this person, because I know they're going to say some shit that I'm not going to be okay with.
Yeah, but it's like, well, who are they?
Right.
Like, they ain't you.
Right.
So why are you embarrassed?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Next question. Why would you take a risk?
Why would I take a risk? Huh?
Like, why did you decide to get up on stage?
Why did I? Well, that's a long story. That's such a long story.
You want? All right. I'll just tell you my answer.
Yeah. Well, do you want me to not give an answer?
I mean, I guess you can.
Like, I mean.
Go ahead.
I think that The reason I got on stage was there were so many people telling me, like, I was like telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was so many people telling me, you got to get on stage. You've got to get on stage. And so for the longest, what kept me from getting on stage the longest time was that risk of being like, everyone thinks I'm going to be good at this.
But
what if I'm fucking not?
If I'm not?
Like, it could easily go sideways so quick. Yeah. And it's all that self-doubt in your head that you're like, ugh. But when it comes back to it, it's like the reason I took that leap was because I had people that kept pushing that and kept being like, dude, get on stage, get on stage, get on stage.
Yeah.
One of them sitting across from me on this podcast right now.
That's me. So when I put this question, why take a risk? My answer literally was just, why not? Like, I don't think there's a reason not to. If you truly believe in yourself, that like you're passionate about this risk and you think it at the end of the day, it will make your life better, it'll make you a better person or whatever, then there's no reason not to do it. Like, just do it. Or like this podcast, the project, like it's that thing that just kept coming back to me. It's like, oh, I want to do this. What's a reason not to do it? There really isn't one, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you have like a studio already.
Yeah, that's
true. We have all of the equipment already. And we were like, I guess there's literally nothing holding us back from doing this.
Yeah. So then I put, all right. So like, if, like, let's say someone's listening and they're like, oh.
I hope someone's listening.
I mean, me too. Me too. I hope someone's
like listening. We're really banking on the fact that someone is listening to this.
So someone's listening. All right. Someone's listening that can connect to this. And it's like, oh, I have been thinking about doing this or that. It's like, but what do I do before I take that risk? Well, there's risk mitigation, which I learned from Jocko Willink. I don't know if you know who that is.
I have no idea.
But it's all good. So like, you pretty much just mitigate what you can cancel out from like the threats. So like, it's a strategy to prepare for and lessen like the chance of threat. So if you were going to go do stand up for your first night, you're probably not going to go up on stage and improvise or do a knock knock joke. You know, you're going to take those threats of failure and booze away. You know, it's not the best example, but it's, I think people will pick up what I'm putting down.
I know what you were saying when you said booze, like, boo. But like, when you were like, booze, I was like, alcohol. I was like, I had a couple drinks before I went up. I agree completely. But you were there. So like the first time I went up after the pandemic, and right. I had written all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got up and you were like, you didn't tell me any of that.
No. Yeah. You like pulled jokes out of your ass that you didn't tell me anything. And I was like, wait, where are the ones you told me?
Right. Yeah. But they were all, I just was like, phew. And then I improvised because of the way I saw other people's sets going.
No, I mean people that like don't prep. Like, you're not going to do that for stand up. Then I also have just like assessing your current situation. Like when we were talking about the one guy that left that job or saved money, left the job, and then got the other company. Like, I think when you are going to go tackle this risk and or take that chance, if you can drop everything and do it, then cheers to you. But chances are you probably can't, and you probably need to take it one step at a time. And like, there's nothing wrong with planning it out. Calendars are there for a reason.
Well, and I actually know another person who did that. Unless you don't
believe in time.
Unless you don't believe in time, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I know another person that literally went from being like a, I'm gonna say a FedEx driver, or he was like a delivery driver for like packages. And he went from that to literally opening his own gym.
Oh, nice.
So he like, he's
like overnight.
Like, he's just like, screw like, it. Quit. And then he like had one of those things where he just like lived in his car for a little while. His life was kind of in shambles, but he took it and he took that risk. He burned all of his boats and he went and did the thing that he wanted to do. And then again, I'll keep him anonymous.
That's awesome. And then, yeah, so really like final remarks on Risk, and if people are, like I said, have that thing in their head, if you do it, just do it. Do it. Don't half-ass it though. Like, you gotta put both hands on the wheel and go. You know, you can't, there's no way you can half-ass it and expect whatever it is you want.
Yeah, that the reward won't be nearly as big if you half-ass the risk that you're taking. You know what I mean? Like, the risk is full, right? So you go in, but if you half-ass your work on that risk or on that mission to reward,
yeah,
I do feel like that. I mean, you give what you get. You know, it's the same thing. You know, what you put in, you get out of it. But the more that you work towards that and like that risk that you take, I mean, I don't know. I mean, every time I get up on stage, I feel that risk that I'm like, what if they hate me?
Right.
And then I'm like, I don't know any of these people. I don't fucking care.
But there's definitely going to be chance, or not opportunities, but there's going to be moments where you do drop everything and you pursue it, and that thing doesn't happen, and that thing doesn't, you know, it doesn't fulfill what you thought it was going to do. And I think there's two ways to approach that. You can sulk and beat yourself up and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Or you can be like, oh, you know, it didn't really end how I wanted it to, but look at what I learned through the process. I learned that I can take that chance. I can take that risk and build confidence in myself for pursuing that and shit like that. And I think more people need to do it. I think more people need to take the risk, and I think more people need to take the chance. Pursue what your heart desires.
So basically just, well, and like, if that thing doesn't work out, that risk,
yeah,
that you took, it just, you fall on your face, it doesn't work out, and you see no hope of it. It's like, okay, but it's like going to the gym. I assume I don't do that. So, I mean, it's not like you could go lift weights. I use this in a meeting today. I literally, you can lift weights one day, but you're not going to look like Schwarzenegger after that one time that you do it. You know what I mean? You got to adjust. You got to be like, oh, what's working? What isn't working? And you got to pivot. You got to be able to pivot. You know what I mean? You're not changing your goal. You're just changing your path to get there.
Well, I mean, and if with risk, I mean, if you are going to pursue something super different, I mean, consistency is going to be your best friend. It has to be your best friend, because if you're not consistently doing it or practicing it, approaching it, then, like I said, you're either all in or you're not. And there's no reason to not be all in.
Yeah, I agree. Now, now what about the... there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot to that risk, you know, jumping off the deep end and stuff. And there's a lot of people I feel like that are probably listening to this that don't...
Hopefully
listening to this, that are like... No, like, it's the same thing with the whole, you know, analogy from earlier.
Yeah.
It's like,
the people that are saying no, then no offense, but it's like, whatever that is, that thing that you're thinking about, then I guess you aren't really serious about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Like, you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, do I want to do this? And if the answer is like an undoubtedly yes, then okay.
Well, and it's like,
do it.
I don't want to bring up the other podcast too much, but but like what Tom said on the podcast with the story of the kid who went out and he had a baseball bat and he had a ball and he threw the ball up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And he swung.
Yep.
And he goes, I'm the greatest
hitter
in the world.
Right.
And he throws the ball up and he swings and he misses.
Right.
And he throws a ball up again, and he swings and he misses. And he throws up again, he swings and he misses. And he goes, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world.
Yeah.
This is like, it's really, it's all perspective. It's all.
It is.
It's all what? You say it all the time.
It's all mental.
Yep.
It is all mental. All right. So yeah, for anyone that is listening, first of all, thanks. But B, I didn't even say A. But B, if you are pursuing something or you're thinking about pursuing something, you have a friend in me. If you want to come to and ask for advice, or if you ever fall down that rabbit hole where you're like, damn, like, am I doing this right? Or whatever, I'm here for you. I think Jackson is too. And also kudos to you. Kudos to you for taking a chance. Not many people do it. And that's really all I want people to take from this episode. Like, take that freaking chance if you want to do it, if your heart desires it. And that is Risk. All right, Jackson, cue up the sound for the vent. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this segment is called The Vent. The Vent is going to be a segment every single episode where I reach out to those people on social media and I just let them vent. I want to hear what people want to complain about, vent about, and I just want to hear what's going on. I got a ton of messages this first time. I got over 20. So we're going to kind of fly through a couple. But if there are any that really like pique your interest, then we can talk about them. So there are a couple. All right. When people smack their food as they eat and misuse of the word literally. How do you misuse the word literally? Maybe not pronounce the second R?
Literally like this. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea because, well, figuratively is the other one that people never use, you know, like figuratively speaking, like they're always like
misuse of the word. So they just use it wrong.
Yeah.
They literally use it wrong.
Yeah.
Also when people smack their food. Yeah. When like their lips, I think she means, yeah. Cause I'm just picturing like two halves of a sandwich, just clapping it together. I'm sorry if that was loud in the mic. People that walk diagonally across a parking lot or a crosswalk. Remember, we were literally just driving, and I was like, remember this moment.
Yeah.
And that's true. When people walk diagonally, I mean, it takes longer. It's like, yo, do you know what you're doing? I actually think a lot of people do this, and they don't know what they're doing. But it does take when we're talking like a lot longer, it might be like 2 or 3 seconds, but the crosswalk is straight for a reason.
Yeah, I do that shit all the time. I'll like, well,
you jerk.
Like I like not like if obviously if it's dead, if the street's dead, I'll walk wherever I feel like. But it's different. Like obviously, if there's like cars coming, they're like walk now. I'm like okay, and I'll take the crosswalk 80% of the time.
We got another people who don't chew with their mouth closed. Yeah, for sure. Fucking bicyclists in the city, learn the rules of the road. I agree with that. However, when you're riding a bike in the city, it's the opposite. It's the driver's suck. So, you know, grass is always greener.
Yeah, it goes back to perspective. That's all things that...
Not using credible sources to support claims. This just makes me think about like anything political. And it's like, oh, where'd you hear that? Facebook. Well, all right. Do you know you sound ridiculous right now?
Yeah.
You got that from Facebook.
Well, I was talking to a friend and like we were talking about, I forget who, and he was like, the thing that drives me insane is that they always cite Twitter as like where they heard that.
Yeah. It's like, do you understand what you're saying right now? You got your news, your whatever it is from probably some other crazy person that got there. Like it's a domino effect of just crazy people.
It's like being like, yeah, I heard about this on The Onion. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Being called a snowflake when you express caring for a stranger's well-being. I like, why do you give a shit what people like? Don't let that get to you.
Yeah.
You know, like I understand being called anything that you don't like probably isn't good. But and it's probably hard to take in the moment that you shouldn't care about it. But it's like, who cares?
But yeah, I mean, I feel like also like snowflake. What is this? The 80s? Like, are they calling people like, you know what I mean? I feel like that's like a more of a like, it's like calling someone gay. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, you wouldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't, at least. I wouldn't be like, if you don't use that as an insult, that's like a, at least in 2021, that's a,
yeah,
like a descriptor of who but you are, like, as a person. You know what I mean?
If someone's, gonna use, I'm not going to say any derogatory, because there are some really mean things, and it's like, whoa, too far. Really
fucked up words.
But if it's like, if someone called me like an uneducated prick or something, I'm just like, okay, like, who are you?
Yeah, teach his own.
Right. Rude customer service. I mean, yeah, if you're rude to people, especially in the bar
industry. Like being mean to customer service, or if customer service is mean to you?
The first one.
Okay. Yeah, being rude to customer service is never the answer.
When someone says it could be worse.
Yeah.
I again think that's like from perspective, because if it's like, yo, I just buried my dog, and someone's like, hey man, it could always be worse. It's like, oh dude, what the fuck? Like, my dog just died.
And they're like, it could be worse. You could have had two dogs that died and you had to bury both of them.
So I think it's all about what happened. I guess that could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that completely. It's like, with the, it can always be worse. It's like, but I feel like it's always like an endearing, like, hey man, like,
I think it's like a pick me up.
There's brighter horizons ahead.
Yeah, right. And yeah, maybe, yeah, look at it from that way, especially if the person like is someone you know, and maybe they don't know how to respond to bad instances, and so like that's kind of their go-to. People who stand up and walk to the front of a plane after landing. Yeah, for sure. These people just suck. That's anonymous. Like, or what's the word when everybody votes unanimous?
Unanimous. That's the word. So like people that are like, as soon as the plane lands,
they get up.
Like,
it's a go time. It's like, well, we got to stand here or sit here for 20 minutes until we can onboard.
Right. What was the last one that you read before that?
Rude customer service.
Oh, maybe I didn't have anything for that.
That's fine. My wife won't let me play golf, and she barely has sex with me.
First of all, after we're done with this, I want to know who said that. Second of all, I mean, it's only us to figure it out. Don't worry. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, to that, like,
maybe like figure out why she won't let you play golf, and then maybe if you do that, then she'll have sex with you.
Or maybe
you figure out one problem.
Maybe stop asking her to play like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like how often are you asking to play golf? Because like, if you're asking like every day, like, I'm gonna go, can I go play golf with the guys? And then they don't.
I thought you were gonna say ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Oh, yeah.
But if can you? I don't know if you can do that with your wife.
Yeah, I don't have a wife. I don't know. I don't know those rules.
That's why we both. Yeah, we're not married. My dog smelly farts and constant zoomies.
Wait. Your dog's farts and what?
Constant zoomies. So when dogs, like, if they don't get enough playtime in a day or whatever, especially if like they're younger, they would just run. They would just spaz out and run, like run from one corner of the house to the other corner.
Oh, like how Maui was doing that one time.
Yes, exactly. They'll do it like six times, because I don't know, but it's a thing that like most dogs do. I don't know if I'll do, but yeah.
Dog farts are the worst, though.
Dog farts are disgusting.
Especially,
I'd rather pick up dog poop and smell that than smell a dog fart.
Yeah, I just would like opt out of both.
I've picked up so much dog poop recently. All right. Grown adults who are incapable of controlling their emotions. Yeah, like when people get mad in public, it's really like, chill out. You know, because your venti latte wasn't a grande. If that was the right
read, way. Read it again real quick.
Grown adults who are incapable of controlling their emotions.
So, okay, so controlling emotions, right? You really can't. It's just like they happen, you know? No, but I'm saying responsibly, like experiencing those emotions, you know what I mean? Is different than controlling. Like, because controlling your emotions is like, I refuse to feel joy right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think of when I hear controlling emotions, because like, if you have like, can't stop crying uncontrollably, you know what I mean? Yeah. Things like that. It's like, all right, I get that, but it's like responsibly, like, I feel like you can responsibly be like, listen, I'm angry right now, but I'm not going to take it out on this person.
You know what I mean? Obviously, it depends on the emotion, too. Like, let's say you're in line at Starbucks and your dog just died. Like, I'm probably going to cry and I'm going to leave the Starbucks. But if you're in line at Starbucks, and like I said, they give you a grande latte instead of a venti, and like you flip out and start throwing cups, like.
But also, like, if your dog dies and you're in line at Starbucks and you start to cry, there's a difference between like, hi, can I get a grande, not that, mochaccino, and then I'm so sorry, my dog just died. There's a difference between that and being like, can I?
Yeah. It depends on the individual.
Like, it definitely depends on the individual, but I mean, there's also like a social, emotional, and like a responsibility that you have when you're experiencing those emotions that like you should not be putting that on someone else who's not really, like, you're not a fucking therapist.
True. All right, we got a couple more. People who come and go out of your life on their own agenda. That's true. And I feel like people might, I'm not going to say people might think this about me. I'm just really bad at keeping in touch with people that aren't around.
Like aren't but physically present.
Yeah. But I don't really have anyone that has been like this in my life. I've heard about people that just come and go on their own agenda. And I like that is shitty, you know.
I could think of a few people like that in my life. Because it's always they come back in for selfish reasons. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they always come back in to get some sort of gain without like any risk, and then like as soon as they got what they needed, they leave.
Right.
But there is also like again the people that like I won't talk to for a while, but then we pick it back up. Like there was like we didn't even skip a beat. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's like okay, yeah, but I am an adult, and I can understand that right. We all have our own lives.
Yeah.
And shit gets busy. And we're all pursuing our own things, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's definitely, there's a, like, life gets in the way. I get that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's that whole aspect of it that I feel like a lot of people aren't understanding about, like, oh, you couldn't make it to this thing again? And it's like, okay, first of all, I'm, like, 4 states away, you know what I mean? And there's that sort of thing.
Got you. Grown-ass adults incapable of having uncomfortable conversations.
Me.
You can't have uncomfortable conversations.
I try to avoid them at all costs.
Can you break up with a girl face to face?
Oh, yeah, that's not uncomfortable. I'm just kidding. I mean, it is uncomfortable. It's just like, you know, there's a
you got to have like if it's a legitimate conversation that needs to be had, people just need to grab their cojones and talk. I read that one. People who lie about shit that doesn't even matter. Yeah.
That's dumb as fuck.
Yeah. People who go on keto to lose weight.
Yeah. Fuck those people. Fuck them. I'm just kidding. I mean, I have no plans of losing weight, but I also have no plans of doing keto.
People who want something but aren't willing to work for it. Hey, yeah. Take that risk and work for it. Hey, we were talking about that.
You say people that have something, but
people who want something, willing. Like it's, it's like I want to be a famous stand-up comedian, but I'm gonna do no stand-up. It's like, what do you think? Someone's just gonna walk in and be like, "Hey, you're hilarious. Come over here to Netflix. We'll sign you to a deal." That'd be great, but that's not how the world works.
Yeah, that'd be super great.
Out of shape person who looks at someone who is in shape and says. Genetics. Yeah. Genetics do count a little bit, but definitely not that much.
Yeah, like when you talk about like metabolisms mm-hmm. and things like that, like the way your body processes certain things, you know, I know
right.
Like I mean that's like an allergy or something like
yeah.
that. But yeah, no, that's definitely
there's like 4 or 5 in a row about working out. People who wonder why they don't lose weight when they get blacked. 5 nights of the week. True.
Me. No, I not 5 nights of the week, but like a solid 3.
People who complain they don't have enough time to work out. Yeah, I 100% agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I right now don't have a lot of time to work out, but I also could make time if I wanted to.
Exactly.
Like, I know that about myself. Like, right. I'm like, if I wanted to, I could do it. I have no desire to do it, though. That's the issue.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, I think people that just say that as an excuse, it's like, yeah, I'm busy.
I have no time. Shut up. You wanted to.
Wake up 2 hours early and go for a run. And last but not least, people not giving you the same energy you give them, and then when you reciprocate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who's like, you know, you're like, oh yeah, you know, like, let's go, you know, like, you're always being the initiator, mm-hmm. where you want to go and like, oh, let's go grab a cup of coffee. And they're like, oh, well, I can't this week. And I'm like super busy again.
Right.
And then like weeks go and they're never the one initiating that, where they're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, so I'm the only one that wants to see you. Cool. Something like that.
That would be annoying. That would be very annoying.
That'd be super annoying. That sounds like someone that deserves to get cut out.
That's definitely event worthy. I appreciate the suggestions. I'm going to have those, or I'm going to have a question like that every single episode. So please, the vent is fun. I enjoy the vent, and I'm looking forward to next episode's answers. This has been episode 1 of the Sunny Days Project. Jackson, I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you having me here. I'm pushing a lot of buttons for you, but
you always push my buttons. All right. Till next time. Toodles.
And on. We chaunt, we talk this shit. Quick. Walking in, kicking with the sticks. Teflon turbo hit the blitz. Bliss, fury from the fist. Hurry, sir, let's dip. Y'all star, while I'll finish. Pity pot, red patty on the track. Spitting rare vintage. Raw venom, short-winded Pulp Fiction. The post missing from the four strip.